Thank you for being here. We appreciate your presence. Since I have the pulpit this evening, I want to thank Dale for the pulpit. He did a fantastic job, and we're appreciative that he made it kind of blend in with the ends of the pews and all that kind of thing. And so he's done a good job. We give him praise for that and thank him for his hard work efforts, and of course the talent it takes to do something like this. I certainly couldn't. Larry and I were talking before the service started, and we were reminiscing like old men sometimes do. And I asked him, "Did you remember the song Tumbling Tumbleweeds?" And he did. The Pioneer Sons of the Pioneer sang it. Maybe some other old Western singers covered it. But it talked about just drifting along like a tumbling tumbleweed out in West Texas. That's all they have out there, that and oil. And so some of the old cowboys would go from cattle ranch to cattle ranch and work, and then they'd just drift along, never really putting down roots and doing something that would better themselves or a family or a community. And so I want to talk about just drifting along. Are you just drifting along like those old tumbleweeds? And I'm going to recount a story here. I think it's in principle true. It may have happened. I'm not quite sure. A tragic event that resulted from drifting. And two fishermen were fishing on a lake. Let me make sure that this thing is presentation mode. Sure is. Two fishermen are fishing on a lake above a dam on a river. And I don't know if you've been around rivers that have been dammed up to make a lake. And then they have maybe, in the old days, had spillways around the side. Sometimes they didn't have these hydroelectric dams. They just let, when the water got up so high, it just went over the dam, down as far as to the bottom of where the river used to be. And so as they were concentrating on catching fish, you sometimes in that part of the lake where the water's deeper, you can catch big old catfish at the bottom of the lake there. I don't know what these guys were doing, what we're fishing for, but they were unaware of how far their boat had drifted. You got to kind of be careful around these old style dams because you could be swept over if the water was a little bit high. They were not paying attention to the position. They're just trying to catch fish, and maybe they were. They were having a good time catching fish. Now they were close to the water flowing over the dam. It was flowing that day. Probably had rained upstream. But when they realized their dire situation, it was too late. The current near the dam was too powerful, and they were just trying to paddle away from it, and it just sucked them closer and closer. And tragically, below the dam, below the dam was dashing. Below the dam, the water was dashing with strong force over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. And caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, they never came to the surface after they went over. And so these men were drifting, and they didn't realize how far they had drifted until it was too late. Of course, that's men in a fishing boat. And you can guess I'm talking about us and our Christian walk in this life and how that sometimes we can get settled in like these fishermen did and just start kind of drifting. Life is good. We're not making any waves. You know, it was very still on this lake till they got real close to the dam. And our life is good, no waves, we're just fine. Now, I'm not making any waves, nobody else is making any waves, and we're just drifting. Spiritually, we're drifting. So are you just drifting along? The danger of drifting is not limited to the physical realm like these two fishermen. In Hebrews 2, in verse 1, we find a warning in the scriptures from drifting. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Just drift away. Because if we obey the gospel, and maybe we're excited and we're engaged for some period of time, and then life gets in the way. You know, we have a family, we have children, we have a job, we want to go to the gym and make sure we exercise and maybe we have a hobby or two. And we're not giving them more earnest heed to the things we have heard. We're just started drifting. We're a member of the Lord's body. We're a member of the local congregation. We may attend regularly, and that's all we do. Well, brethren, that's not enough. Sadly, it's not uncommon for Christians to drift toward their soul's destruction. People who may even attend regularly at a local congregation, and they're just drifting away. They've modified their stance on some things of authority or things of doctrine. And sadly, it's not uncommon at all. And so are you drifting, is the question. We'll go through a few slides here and talk about ourselves, all of us, me included. Would you know if you were drifting? There's a question. And so we're talking about this self-examination. I've talked about this before, and I believe in it, that we have to look at ourselves from time to time and give ourselves a report card. How am I doing? In a number of ways. But the first one is, how am I doing spiritually? What's your report card going to say to you? With this lesson, let's stimulate careful introspection, looking inside ourselves regarding the danger of drifting away from the Lord. Things we should know about drifting. Drifting requires no effort. These two men who are fishing, those cowboys drifting like the tumbling tumbleweeds, they just went from cattle ranch to cattle ranch, got them a job, stayed in the bunkhouse for a week or a few months, maybe, depending on what was going on, then moved on. Didn't put down any roots. Didn't take care to make a change in their lives. Just stop paddling or tacking against the wind if you're in a sailboat, and the boat will begin to drift. And the boat won't sink. It'll just be drifting. The same is true for you and I in our Christian lives. If we don't pay attention, we may wake up one morning and find ourselves outside of Christ because we've not paid attention to the doctrine. We've not paid attention to what we're compromising, where we're going spiritually. And then it's all also sad, like those fishermen. We're told in Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 1, we must give the most earnest heed. We talked about that. Let's look at those two words, earnest. Because we don't really say earnest and heed very often, do we? Dale does, but other than that, no one else. Serious. Earnest is serious. Solemn. Intense. Deep. Heartfelt. So we must give the most serious heed. The most intense heed, the most heartfelt heed. And then heed, we don't say that much, attention, notice, regard, mindfulness, care. So serious regard, solemn mindfulness, deep attention, intense care. Does that sound like the way you live and manage your relationship with Christ? We can read that scripture in Hebrews, the second chapter, and go, earnest and heed. Okay. What does it mean? Are you serious? Are you solemn about it? Are you intense about it? In heed, you give attention, you notice with regard, with mindfulness, with care. And so sometimes we just drift. Because we can't keep our energy up and our attention up all the time. But God is watching. God knows. So you can fool us. Just can't fool God. Things we should know about drifting, it's an unconscious process. Those fishermen weren't thinking about safety, where we're going, what we should be doing. They were kind of oblivious to all that, and they were unaware. In a boat, undercurrents often are unnoticeable from the surface. And in a plane, the wind or gravitational forces move the plane. Let's talk about some examples. I don't know if you remember, but a while back, several years ago, John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife and another couple were flying their small private plane from New York out to their family compound. I forget exactly where that was. And he shouldn't have flown it because there was fog. It was foggy. And small 4 or 6 passenger planes probably don't have all the navigational gear for flying when you can't see. And so visual flight rules were in effect, but he disregarded those and went ahead and went. And so, as I say here, it's possible to drift unaware. John F. Kennedy was piloting that plane. And what happens when you're in a fog and you're up in the air, you lose all sense of up and down. It sounds kind of odd to me, but that's exactly the thing that happens. And without the sophisticated instrumentation, he didn't know if he was flying up, down, upside down, right side up, anything, crashed into the sea, all 4 of them perished. He couldn't see where he was going. He was drifting. In a plane, that can happen easily if there's fog in a small plane. The same is true in a spiritual realm. Many individual Christians have slowly drifted away. Not walked away, not stormed out, not conscious decision of, I'm not going back there anymore. Maybe they never left. They just mentally are drifting away. They're not concerned about doctrine. They're not concerned about false doctrine that they might be, their friends or relatives or businesses, acquaintances might be involved in that's luring them. Many churches have gradually drifted in error too. So you have to be careful about congregations as you move from one place to another, who you associate yourself with. One day you may find yourself far removed from the scriptures. Everybody knows the story of the frog in a pot of hot water, right? If you take a frog and you throw it in a pot of hot water, what does the frog do? He jumps out because it's hot all at once. And you can recognize the danger in their spiritual realm, the false doctrine or the temptation or whatever it might be. But you take a pot of cool water or lukewarm and you put a frog down in it, that frog will sit there. And you turn on the heat on that and the frog will sit there and acclimate to the heat till the heat kills him. And so the same is true with us spiritually. If we're just a little bit off, heat didn't kill us. Then we're a little bit off more, and then we're a little bit off more, and then we're associating with people we shouldn't be associating with. We're doing things we shouldn't do. We're thinking things we shouldn't think. We are worshiping in a way that God hasn't authorized, and then he kills us. The heat of hell. There's some more things we've got to know about this drifting thing. We never drift upstream or against the tide. What? When you're drifting, you just go with the flow. Go with the flow. You faithfulness to the Lord is like paddling upstream or going against the tide. It's hard, not easy. So if your religion is very easy and accommodating, then you're drifting with the tide. You're just going with the flow, because the doctrine of Christ separates families, separates friends, and separates people who won't do the doctrine of Christ and love Christ. If you love Him, keep His commandments. That's what He said. And if we're just going with the flow, we're flowing downstream away from the spiritual home where we should be. It's the upstream. It's fighting against the tide. It's fighting against the water coming at you, figuratively speaking. That's what we, every day, it's a struggle in this world to guard against temptation, to guard against false doctrine, to guard against false kinds of worship. And so we never drift toward God, we drift away. You must constantly be adding to your faith, paddling in the right direction, as it were. Let's look at some scriptures here. 2 Peter 1, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge. We're going to look at this a couple of times because repetition is one way we learn. Giving diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. Whew. How long does it take to master all that? Not a year. Not a decade. It takes a whole lifetime to prepare ourselves for the heavenly home. And mistakes along the way, of course. And repentance along the way, of course. Because that's just the way humans are. But we've got to keep adding to our faith. Not drifting along and just accepting what comes. You must beware and continue to grow. 2 Peter 3:17-18. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. You were strong. You were steadfast. Beware lest you fall from it. You're not guaranteed. You're not all screwed in and part of the machinery that can't move, that can't fall off. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Watch out who you associate with. We'll cover that in a minute. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paddle upstream. Get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Don't fall for the easy way out. The moment you stop growing, you start going backwards and downwards. All those things we have to add to our faith, it takes all the time we have to grow in those. The moment you stop growing, you start going backwards and downwards, you start drifting. Some more things we should know about drifting. The speed downstream increases. So once you let go and start drifting, the speed picks up away from where you wanted to be. Now, here you are. The dangers increase with the speed of the drift. By the time you can hear the noise of the waterfall, like those fishermen, it's already too late. By the time you understand that you're in hot water, like the frog that started out in the cool water, it's too late. When we lose sight of land, it's more difficult to discern that we're drifting. There's no relative shoreline there when we're drifting. We got to stay in Christ and understand the home that He's made for us. As we drift further and further from the Lord, we care less and less about how far we've drifted, and so it's a downward spiral. The further we get away from God and drifting along the easy path, the less we care about where we were one time. And that's working on our mind. It's dangerous to others. Drifting is dangerous to others. You may bump into others and cause them to stumble or to fall out of the boat or to be in the hot water, or whichever metaphor you like to use. A drifting ship is a hazard to all other vessels at sea. Worst thing in the world is a drifting vessel that you can't know where it's going to go. Parents who are just drifting soon lose opportunity to teach those precious children that we love, and grandchildren. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. If you never do that, if you never obey that commandment, what about your children? Oh, they'll probably grow up. They'll be adults. They may go to school. They may get a trade. They may make a living. Where is their soul going? That's the question. Many are tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Yeah. Ephesians 4:14, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunningness, craftiness, deceitful plotting of the devil. But that's what drifting will get you. If you're not stand fast, back bowed, not going to be pushed downstream or down the hill. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And so our focus is on Christ, speaking the truth in love, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the commandments, the truth of the righteous living, to grow up. Some people don't like to be told to grow up, adults. But some people need to be told to grow up because they're still children and in a 35-year-old body. And they don't think straight and they don't understand the consequences of their actions, or they don't seemingly don't. We got to grow up in all things into him who is our head, Christ. Grow up. And one additional thing here, it ends in shipwreck. And that shipwreck for spiritual, our spiritual side is a devil's hell. A boat adrift will crash on the rocks or go over the falls. For those who drift spiritually through their own neglect, there shall be no escape from a just punishment, because you know what you should do. Hebrews 2:1, again, repetition is how we learn. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. Earnest heed, those two words, remember the synonyms? To the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in the old times, old ages, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward in those times, which it did, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The Son of God came down to save us. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? We live in the best age in the history of this planet, but sometimes we don't act like we appreciate it. It's a rhetorical question. How shall we escape if we neglect the great salvation offered to us in the Christian age? We won't. And it's going to be a tragedy. The danger of drifting is real. Now I'm asking you, are you spiritually drifting? Would you know if you were? Well, hopefully this will help. If you think you are, then we need to, you need to do something about it. Common signs of drifting: diminishing desire to study God's word and pray. The Bible is a unique book, a source of information not found anywhere else. Without God's revelation, how could we truly know our origin, purpose, destiny? It tells us of sin's dreadful consequences and how God saves us from it, unless we drift. It provides direction for happy living, useful lives. Psalms, the first chapter, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man who does not do that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Not do that, but do this. And verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Does that mean you're going to be the richest man in the world? No, that means you're going to heaven. Who wants to be the richest man in the world and not go to heaven? No, I don't. I hope you don't. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in season, does the work, establishes itself with roots, brings forth fruit. The leaves will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Heaven is the goal. When one loses their desire to study God's word, they're drifting. Have you lost that desire? Be concerned. Diminishing desire to study God's word and pray. Continue. Prayer is a wonderful blessing, an avenue to communicate with God. Jesus, who loved his Father, often prayed. Look at several examples here. In Mark 1, verse 35, this is after Jesus cast out demons, did a great work, great miracle. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. He just cast out the demons. He wasn't celebrating. He was praying. Mark 6, verses 46. This is after Jesus fed the 5,000 and walked on the water. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. He fed the 5,000. He walked on water. And then he prayed. He's prayerful all the time. We ought to be prayerful all the time. Because if we don't talk to God, we don't have that relationship that we need to have with him. Jesus expressed concern that his disciples not grow weary of praying. And when he had sent them away, he departed the mountain to pray. If you look at it, this is your assignment. I don't want to go over time here. The persistent widow, Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. A good parable about praying. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. That's your assignment. Read that and think about it. If you want to talk about it, see me. When the Christian prays less and less, he or she is drifting more and more because you're not talking to God. You're not casting your cares on him. You're not asking him for strength. You're not thanking him for all the blessings you have. You're not praying for your brothers and sisters, some who really need your prayer. Diminishing desire to be with God's people. Attending services, worship God. One should always have the attitude of the psalmist in Psalms 1. 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you looking for an opportunity to come here? I'm talking to preaching to the choir here, because we've probably got about half what we had this morning, roughly. If we no longer rejoice in the worship of God, brethren, we're drifting. We're way down the stream. If this doesn't lift you up, it doesn't strengthen you, it doesn't charge you up for the work week or whatever you got going on this week, if it doesn't bring you closer together as we commune with Jesus together on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, if that doesn't get to you, you're drifting. You have drifted, probably. And beyond the service of the church, we're to edify one another. Romans 14 and verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. True peace. Yes, people may disagree with the doctrine of Christ. But if they agree, then it's true peace between that person and yourself and both of you and God. And that's true peace. People misunderstand what the peace of God that surpasses understanding is. It's doing God's will and helping others to do that as well. Even daily, Hebrews 13, 3 verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we don't have contact with one another on a fairly regular basis, then we could get hardened and be deceived by sin. With the right kind of friends is who we need to be with. Let's look at some examples here. Two are better than one, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 9 and 10 says, but they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe unto him who is alone when he falls, for he has no help, no one to help him up. We help each other up. That's what the congregation system is, the coming together to pray and teach and sing and commune and be edified with each other. We need good friends, friends who help us get to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. King James says morals. I probably like that one better. So look at your companions. Who do you spend time with? If you go to work, obviously you can't pick the people you work with, but you can pick the people you play with and you spend extra time with, and that you give your time to them rather than to Christians. Diminishing desire to be with God's people. You're drifting away. When a Christian prefers the company of non-Christians rather than fellow Christians, or he or she is drifting toward rocks of spiritual destruction. You're going over that dam down to destruction. Because only through studying the Word, of course, and associating with like-minded people can we be strengthened in the faith and recharged and obey God even in the face of evil temptations or other doctrines. Diminishing desire to share the gospel. You know, once you've went through all these, it's like, I'm not talking to anybody about church. When one obeys the gospel, he or she knows God has blotted out his or her sins and make them a new creature in Christ. And you want to tell the world about Jesus. You're on fire for the Lord. Acts 8 and 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They were scattered because of oppression, because they were being threatened and maybe thrown in prison. And rather than just run and hide, they ran. They got their family away from the danger, and they were preaching the word everywhere. It's like the old idea of a campfire. Someone hits a log down in the middle of it, and the embers spread as far as you can hit them with the log. That's the kind of thing that happened in the first century. As those people were persecuted, they took their families and got out of there, but they didn't leave their faith. They took it with them and taught people. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. These are Christians. From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we need not say anything. Paul said, I don't have any work to do here. You're preaching the gospel. You're getting the converts. You're bringing them into the covenant relationship with God and Christ and in the local congregation, and building each other up. That'd be good if somebody was saying about us, wouldn't it? When a Christian no longer has the desire to take the message of salvation to others, drifting way down. Remedies. Let's look. You could probably spout these as much as well as I can. Keep rowing, using the boat. Keep rowing upstream. If you drift downstream, you're going away from God. If you're rowing, figuratively speaking, in your spiritual life, you're exercising the commandments of Christ and the worship of God in Christ, and it requires diligence. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge. Verse 10, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Be diligent and then be even more diligent. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. So if we keep working on those, adding all those things to our faith, all of our life, we'll always be working for God and to better ourselves, our relationship with God. You'll never stumble doing that. That's a remedy right there. Keep abounding in the Christian graces. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brother, kindness, love. I just listed them there. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be a barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will know Him better. You will have that relationship with Him. You won't be drifting. You'll be paddling upstream and staying with God. There is no retirement to Christianity. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, Paul says, but the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. This upward call. I want to go up. I want to go to heaven. Jesus and God are calling us to heaven. I press toward that goal. Heed. I'm sincere about it. I'm working diligently. All those synonyms. I press toward the goal for the prize. I'm not drifting toward it because drifting takes me away from it. I've got to work. I got to press. It's a full court press, using a basketball metaphor for our Christian lives, because everything on this earth wants to pull us away from God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. If we're paddling upstream and working with Christ and working toward Christ and obeying the commandments, our outward person is going to be in this world and stay in this world. But the spirit is going to be renewed, and will that upward call to heaven is our goal. So, finally, the conclusion. Are you drifting? We've talked about it now. That's an open book test. And here you go. The danger is real. We'd be foolish to say otherwise. We may know those who have drifted away from the Lord ourselves. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone that we were close to. I have those names in my mind. Are there signs of drifting in your life? Honestly, ask yourself, is my desire to study God's word and pray diminishing? Is my desire to be with God's people not what it has been in the past? Have I lost my desire to save those who are lost? Am I too much enamored by the things of the world? We'll just read Hebrews 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 3, and we'll be done. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed. You remember those synonyms? To the things we have heard, to the gospel, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and it did, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward in those ancient times, and it did, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that sent the Son of God to save us, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those that heard him? Our salvation in Christ is simply too great for us to neglect. If you're drifting, you need to take care of that now. Get back paddling and pressing, as Paul said. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, we had two this morning, blessed souls who submitted their lives to Christ. You can too. Either way, please come as we stand and as we sing.